The last thing you'd ever expect is to sting your nose into one of Slim's stupid mouth traps. You talk about surprise. That thing was cocked and loaded, and it put a terrible bite on the soft, leathery end of my nose. Did it hurt? You bet it hurt. I jumped 3 feet straight up, hopped around in circles, ran backwards down the hall, and finally found myself standing in the kitchen. Slim was slouched against the refrigerator, gnawing on a folded piece of bread with ketchup oozing out the bottom. Our eyes met. This was very embarrassing, and I switched my tail over to slow swings. Hank, give it up. You're going to school in the morning, and you might as well get used to it. Okay, I would quit trying to escape if he would get the mousetrap off my nose. Oddest. No kidding. He shoved the last of the sandwich into his mouth, licked the ketchup off his fingers, leaned over, and pried the trap off my nose. He straightened up, grunted something about the kink in his back, and said, "There, now go to bed, and I don't want to hear any more out of you." "Yes, sir." I lowered my head and tail into the groveling position and went slinking back to my spot in front of the stove. I collapsed on the floor and curled up into a ball. And for the rest of the night, I dreamed about dark dungeons and cackling villains. It was a terrible night, and I hardly slept a wink. Okay, I slept pretty well, but do you know how I did it? I counted goats. Slim rousted me out of bed at 8:15 the next morning, nudging my tail section with the toe of his boot. "Wake up, sunshine. It's your first day of school. This time tomorrow, you'll have a college degree in obedience." Very funny. I dragged myself off the miserable piece of fabric that passed for carpet in Slim's dump of a house and made my way to the front door. There, the man who had once been my friend placed the twine around my neck, and together we made the long, lonely walk to the pickup. I made no more attempts to escape. They had beaten me down and worn me out. Sometime in the night, I had resigned myself to my fate. We pulled up in front of Miss Viola's house, and she came skipping off the porch and down the sidewalk. My eyes popped open, my ears leaped up, and my tail began thrashing the seat. Holy smokes, she looked gorgeous. As fresh as the morning, as bright as a spring sky, as pretty as a field of wildflowers. She jumped into the cab and immediately changed its smell from dirty socks to rose petals and cinnamon sticks, sugar and apple cider and, wow. Slim and I stared at her with open mouths. She gave us a puzzled smile. "Hi, is anything wrong?" Slim swallowed and stammered. "Good honk, Viola. You look prettier than 3 dips of ice cream." She chirped a little laugh.
"Well, you look kind of dashing yourself. Is that a new shirt?"
"Sorta. I found it under my bed." He was so shook up, he turned the starter key, even though the motor was still running. It made a grinding screech. He threw the pickup into gear, and off we went. At that point, you probably think that I launched myself into Viola's lap. No, sir. I held my position in the middle of the seat until we crossed the first cattle guard on the way to town. Only then did I begin easing myself in her direction, creeping inch by inch until I could feel her warm shoulder next to mine. Then, in a very casual manner, I lifted my right front paw and placed it on her lap.